This podcast contains adult content and adult language. In no way does this reflect the opinions of other contributors of Good Morning Gloucester or Homecast. Your discretion is advised.
Good morning, Gloucester. Time for Alicia Unleashed. Talk about what's going on in these streets. Alicia, Alicia Unleashed. Bitches.
Good morning, Gloucester. This is Alicia Unleashed. This is episode 77. It's crazy.
It is.
It's really crazy. And we're on location again.
We are.
It's like Alicia Unleashed on location. Like, I'm looking excited. Like, it got out of my house. And and I love it's not echoey.
No.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. It's awesome. And the weather changed just for us to drive here, too.
It did.
Yeah.
It did. So we are on location at Cape Ann Sup.
Yep.
And we'll talk about that in a little bit. And actually, what I mean, if you guys don't live under a rock, then you know what Cape Ann Sup is. And you've definitely have heard them on the Gloucester cast. But we have B-Side.
What up?
And then we have Dom and Annalise.
Hello.
How's it
Cape
going?
Cape Ann Sup. Yes. So we're going to start off with our hot plate, like we always do. Go through what's happening in the next couple weeks. And then get right into it with Dom and Annalise. Do you know that I said like 1,000 times last podcast?
Yeah, but I couldn't edit them all out.
Fuck. Seriously. I hate the word and I'm very... I'm like really now trying not to say
listening
it. I was a little distracted with my daughter last time, so it's probably why I said a lot, but I actually couldn't finish listening to the podcast because it annoyed me so bad. I'm like... Why do I say so much?
Yeah, there's a few episodes I listened back and I was just like,
and you don't even know you're doing it.
Yeah.
It's always tough to hear yourself afterwards.
That's the thing.
The recording's
my toughest
always
thing,
tough.
For sure.
When I listen to like listen to someone speak and I can catch when they say and if it's repetitive, I can't listen to that person anymore. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry to everyone that that listened. See, I did it again. I can't. All right.
Now you're thinking about it.
Yes, I know.
Even the dog's hiding now.
Yeah. So we have Earth Day coming up.
We do.
And it's the Great Gloucester Cleanup, 9 a.m. And where is this?
That location is to be determined, but you can go on the Gloucester Cleanup Facebook page to reserve the site that you want to clean. So it'd be Niles, Wingersheet, Good Harbor, Stage 4, the Boulevard, Pavilion. Okay. So they've got a whole bunch of places. They're still working out the details as to where the meetups will be.
Okay.
But that came up. Actually, I saw it from 1 Hour Gang today.
Yep.
And
Donna Arzoni.
Yeah. And so that's how I saw it.
We love Donna.
Yeah, she's the best. Love her. Do you guys participate in the Gloucester cleanup?
Yeah. So we have, we're at the Beauport, so we're at Pavilion, 9 to 10 on the 21st. We provide gloves and bags. And
awesome.
People just have to show up.
Yeah.
The Beauport usually has a little tent and they bring like coffee and muffins for everybody.
Max water.
It's a good.
Yeah. We've actually been cleaning up Earth Day on Pavilion Beach. That was one of the first things we started doing.
Oh, awesome.
Because that's where we started the company way back when. So this will be our eighth
year.
Earth Day cleanup
on
Pavilion in a row. Yeah.
Awesome.
It usually
it's good to
off
see it
the
grow.
Season.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Are you going to be participating?
I have to check my calendar. I know I have something going on that weekend. I can't remember if it's a baptism or a baby shower or vice
something.
Versa. One of those things, yes.
I'll be in Cancun, so I think I get out of it. we'll take that.
Excuse me.
Yeah, that's my excuse.
I'm sorry. Excuse me over here.
See? I can't.
Just stop thinking about it.
I gotta stop thinking about it and just let it roll and let it go. So Cape Ann Lanes is ongoing unlimited bowling every Tuesday for $15.
For the month of April.
For the month of April.
Yes.
From 7 to close.
From 7 p.m. to close. It's $15, shoe rental included.
It's awesome.
It's unlimited bowling.
Sweet. Looks like we're going to be doing some bowling.
Yeah. I thought
totally.
I tagged a bunch of friends. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah, what's happening? We've got to do this.
$15, that's more than I'd spend at trivia, so let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's awesome. And obviously, do you know what number year Pride Stride this is?
It's
April
like 28th? year or something like that? Almost 30?
Almost 30, but not quite, right?
I think, yeah. I could be also confusing the actual date of it with the year.
Do you guys know? So that sounds about right.
I think
right?
you're right around 30 years.
Yeah,
I
know yeah. right around 30 sure years. Date, yeah. Right,
yeah,
April 29th, it's at Stage 4. I love back in the day when it was at Gloucester.
Good Harbor.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that. And that was the fun days. Now they just go to Stage 4. It's so boring.
Yeah, but they do the 2 mile walk still, and they go through downtown, and a lot of people pick up and stuff and pick up trash. And you know, and it's also better for people that are not from the area to come and observe that and stuff like that, too.
Right.
Just a good crowd into town early in the season.
Right.
Through downtown.
And there's a lot of people that do the price ride.
Yeah.
A lot of organizations, and it's just, it's insane. So, yeah. All right, well, that's coming up. So, one of the new restaurants opening up very soon, Machaca, go on to GMG. Joey did a interview with Luis that is going to be cooking there. Eric Lorden owns it. And also their tequila expert. And very excited for this. They are in the old Katrina spot, a.k.a. old-timer spot. So that will be opening, to be determined, I would guess May or June, hopefully before Fiesta.
It'd be a smart idea to open before Fiesta.
Yeah, so yeah. If you go back on GMG, look at the video, look at the interview, you'll see how far along they're coming. So I think that's amazing. I can't wait for that. Talk about One Ocean, One Love. They're on Bearskin Neck and they're on Lighthouse Marina. Who are they? What they do?
Yeah, so funny, they actually opened their retail space the same year we opened our retail space. They're two girls, they're sisters, Jamie and Sarah. They're amazing. They started out, Jamie's an artist, and she would hand carve the rubber blocks, and then they would print t-shirts and apparel, and it's sort of grown from there, and now they do screen printing, and they've got their two locations, and I think they're having a really big sort of like beginning of season blowout sale this weekend, so I believe it's at both of their locations.
I think it's just Lighthouse Marina.
Oh, maybe it's just Lighthouse.
I don't think Rockport's open just yet.
Okay. Yes, you're right. Actually, Rockport's not open yet. Just at Lighthouse Marina, which is, so if you just drive to the base of the fish pier, instead of going down the fish pier, you sort of bear left.
Yeah.
Right there. It looks like a lighthouse. You just walk in.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
Can we find them online to see that?
Totally, okay. Yeah. And they're on social media as well.
Yep.
I think those guys are hosting one of the Great Gloucester Cleanup locations.
Oh, nice.
There as
okay.
Well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay. Great. So that's another new place to look at and to plug and to put them on.
Our favorite bartender loves that place.
Yeah. They're
oh, really?
Right over
yeah.
There.
Jamie's always in there when they're open.
So what kind of things do they have?
It's mainly apparel that they create, but then they've got all kinds of beachy accessories to go with it, like jewelry and...
Oh, I'm so excited.
I know their Rockport shop has some, and probably Gloucester too now, has bathing suits.
Oh,
so
wow.
So it's very similar, actually, to what we have in our shop, but they've got, like, their own twist on it, which is super cool.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, the two sisters just came back. They went on our retreat this past February, so we spent a lot of time with them.
Oh, nice. Awesome. So I can't wait to check that out. So let's get into it. Let's get into Cape Ann Sup. So for just kind of go from, you guys have been around for like 8 years now?
Yeah.
So just talk about it. Where? How did you guys even come up with this? Cape Ann Sup, guys, Sup is stand-up paddleboarding for those that do not know that. And so... Yeah,
yeah, definitely. Still one of the questions we get a lot from a Sup standpoint.
Do people go, what's up?
Like, yeah.
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 So,
yeah.
Cape Ann Sup?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's definitely one of those, yeah, jokes you hear a couple times a day. And,
yeah. Does it ever get old?
No, not really. No.
Okay.
No.
Good, because that might be the title.
But, no, so we started, yeah, I can't believe this will be the 8th year already. I started down on the Pavilion Beach location where we still have, which is now where the Beauport Hotel is, back when it was the abandoned Bird's Eye still. Right. So,
you started at Cinnamon Rainbows when you were 8 years old surfing, and that's how you got into all of this. And then after college, you worked at Cinnamon's for a while.
She's got my story down, I guess.
Yeah. And then you opened Cape Banner 2P. So you've been pretty deep in the surf and paddle life for a long time.
Yeah. I started surfing as a kid in Gloucester. Yeah, exactly. Dad got me started, I think, 8 years old, maybe off of Long Beach. So been doing it for a while. And yeah, taught some lessons up in New Hampshire for some other guys. And yeah, and then when the paddle boards came, it just seemed like something that, that could flourish in town. It's tough to rely on surfing only just because we have great waves when they're here, but we have a lot of flat spells too.
Yeah.
And yeah, only a couple beaches. And during summer, you can't surf at Good Harbor all day when the lifeguards are there. So
yeah, right.
Surf is a little trickier, but you know, we have such beautiful waterways all around. So when this sport started to kind of get popular about that 8-9 years ago, I was like, you know what, that's something that could work down, you know, back where we are. So I sold, I had a little landscape company before, and I sold off my mowers and chainsaws and trimmers and all that, and bought 6 boards and started renting them out off the beach.
So yeah, how did that happen? Like, so were you allowed to do that off the beach, or how did...
So back then when we started, Mac Bell owned the property.
Yeah.
So we made an agreement with him to use his space just before Pavilion Beach. And I think back then, even on the deed, the beach was part of the building. So the first year was just a pickup truck with the boards. And my second year, I put a shipping container down there.
And did people come up to you? Is that how they knew, or did you advertise it? Or how did people know what you were doing down there?
Sure. So the first year or two was a lot of just word of mouth. We started a Facebook page pretty early on and tried to do some like social media marketing. Annalise helps immensely in that field. She's much better at that stuff than I am. So that definitely helped pull in, you know, a little more crowd. But you know, we knew a bunch of people in town. So once they heard you're doing it and see pictures, especially at the start with the stand-up paddleboard, everybody was very curious about it. So when they saw us in the harbor, it was pretty often that people would just walk right down and go, what's this all about?
Now, at that time, were you the only, like, I would say, like, company? You had, you know, you had 6 boards at the time, but were you the only people that were offering that?
Yeah, so when we started in Gloucester, absolutely. It was services only for the first 4 seasons before I added the shop as well, so it was a smaller company for sure, but yeah, at the time we were the only guys with paddleboards in town. Casey over in Rockport started doing paddleboarding that second year with Discovery Adventures, and unfortunately she's not doing it anymore, but yeah, we were the only ones in town and in the harbor there, and it was...
And it's a very odd thing to see... If you've never seen something like that, I remember I almost got into a car accident in Maui because I was so fascinated by what was happening out on the... I'm like, is he standing up? And at that time, I was living in San Diego, so I was surfing in San Diego, but I had not seen a stand-up paddleboard. Yeah. So it was just like, you know, I'd sit on Ocean Beach and watch the surfers all morning. Yeah. Like, I'd get up at 6 a.m. and just walk right outside, and there's the pier, and I'd watch surfers, but never... obviously stand-up paddleboard because the waves were so big there. But seeing it in Maui, I was like, well, that is the weirdest looking thing on the planet.
And definitely, and pardon the pun, but it stands out when you look out to the horizon, you just see a person, just not a boat
floating,
or something.
Just walking out there.
Very easy to catch the eye. Yeah. And those first couple of years, we had a lot of almost accidents when people would like stop on the boulevard to look out. But then... It's funny, and now everybody's pretty used to them. Everyone kind of at least knows what it is, whether they've tried it or not, but everybody knows what it is.
It's still intriguing to me, like, seeing it out there. Like, when I see people out there, I'm like, oh. But then I also think, is that Christina? No? But, like, even when, you know, I walk my dog early in the morning on Sundays, I would see, you know, we'll get to that, but, like, the yoga group out there.
Totally, yeah.
I'm like, what? Like, there's more levels to this thing. This is amazing. And I think, you know, you guys, I don't think you guys could have asked for a better location for this kind of thing.
Totally. Nah, the harbor's a killer spot for it without having any breaking waves. So that makes it easier for folks. You know, the beach is a nice, easy on and off. And right out in front of us there, we're kind of between the two boat lanes. So we've got a great learning space out in front where everybody's good and safe. It doesn't have to deal with boats. you know, before they can get their feet under them and then travel a little further in the harbor.
So you started, you said a pavilion, but now you, you said after a few years, 4 years, you're somewhere else now.
Sure. So, it's kind of been a growth a couple ways. So actually the second year I opened my second location, and that's over in Essex here down at the Essex Marina. Okay. And that's a similar setup with a shipping container full of boards that we lead tours, rentals, and lessons right out of. And then in our fourth year is when we opened the building we're in now. So we live upstairs, and my shop is on the first floor, is where we do our retail. And then actually just last summer we opened our fourth location, and I promise it's the last, but over at Long Beach, right at the Cape Ann Motor Inn there. We're partnered up with those guys, and we've got a beachhead there, which is great because we can do paddling as long as surfing as well.
So what's your retail, what's below us in the retail location? What do you guys have?
Yeah, so we sell a little bit of everything that kind of goes along with it. Paddle boards, surfboards, paddles, you know, all that hard gear, along with some clothing, you know, swim gear, sweatshirts, shop logoed stuff as well.
Sunscreen, candles, sunscreen, water bottles, jewelry,
yeah, all kind of a little bit of everything in like the surf shop, gift shop, paddle shop area.
Right. Yeah, we're in a unique location over here in Essex where we've got sort of, we've created our own community and we have our own market of people who are into the surf and paddle industry, but we also have obviously over here like a crazy draw for antiques and gifts and that kind of thing. So we've got, we kind of have to meld the two at the shop. And I think sort of the thread that goes through everything that we have is we try and choose things that, you know, the first 4 years, it was just services. So we beat up the equipment. We figured out what works, what doesn't work, what do we like, what do we not like. You know, we try and find things as that are made as locally as possible, which is actually how I found the One Ocean Girls when we were opening. I found them on Etsy because I was looking for apparel companies near us, and I was like, oh, so many Gloucester. Right, so that worked out. We've got a bikini company that is amazing. They're out of Rhode Island, so it was a breath of fresh air not to have to go to California to find that.
Right.
So everything, the jewelry is locally made. We try and support the local economy because they support us.
So how does, so if someone finds you and they can see the locations, and is it just like one phone number they call and then they hook, like how does that work? Like we, like, hey, I see you're in Long Beach. Yeah. How do, you know, how does that?
It is just the one number. Last year was finally the first year that I at least split it off, so it's not just my cell phone. It does still forward into my cell phone, and most of the days you'll still get me picking it up. It also rings in the shop now because we always have someone in there, you know, so in case one of our on-the-water locations has our instructors actually on the water with the group, you can still call in and get somebody during business hours. So it rings in the shop. It also forwards into my phone. And we've got some really cool kind of software that helps me keep an eye on where boards are at all the other on-the-water locations. So I'll have a good, you know, real-time estimate of where boards are, and we can hold them aside for folks, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and they can, so they can call in, somebody at the shop can do it, or Dom can tell them when they can be where. There are plenty of times where there are boards available, and we just take walk-ups. If somebody's like, I'm at Long Beach for the day, can I get a board for a half day? If it's available, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
We usually try and keep like 20 boards at each location, so there.
Wow,
there's a
Let's move. You know, from your six, right? Yeah, now you have 20 at each location.
And then we also, depending on the service that you want, lessons, tours, SUP yoga, and special events like kids surf night, etc. All of that stuff can be booked online, so you can just check your schedule, book it online, and show up.
So what is the ages for, you just said kids surfing. So, what are the ages for, you know, stand-up paddleboarding and surfing? Totally. Like, what does that look like?
So the kids surf night is probably one of our youngest starting things. It's because we have a lot of instructors in the water. So kids surf night starts at 8 years old. It goes up till 16. There's a couple different nights for more beginners and younger guys and a little bit more advanced and teens. We do that 3 nights a week. We added a third night because it was so popular last year. So yeah, that's probably the most fun we have all summer, to be honest. Having a bunch of little kids sharing that kind of first stoke of surfing is tough to beat that. So that's Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. For the paddle boarding, usually we find like 10 or 11 tends to be where kids are big and strong enough to handle their own gear. So that's a situation where we're either paddling as a family. From time to time, we all have some falls. You know, if they're coming out with the family or our kids, you know, like our kids paddling programs, those usually start at 11. We have kind of like some week-long paddle programs for kids, and those are a little older. So those are 11 to 16.
So does everybody always go out with an instructor? Or like you said, someone says, can I have rent a board for a half a day? So you allow that as well?
Yeah, so rentals are typically sans instructor, so no instructor. But if for people who are looking for that guidance, the lessons and the tours always have somebody on the water with them. We find not that many people actually rent boards by themselves. It's more often than not when you've got a friend or you're going out with a group. So it's not that often that we have like just a single person renting, although it does happen, especially over here on the river where it's like super calm.
Right.
But yeah, so the rentals are no instructor and all the other, basically all the other services have people on the water.
Idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Surf, do you surf too, Annalise?
Yeah, a little bit.
You do?
Yeah.
Me, a little bit.
She does.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
Do you take more?
I don't surf like he does.
Do you take lessons? No? Or you just know, or do you not do it very often? Do you like stand up paddleboarding better?
I don't know. I'm a little, if the water's really warm, I'd rather surf. But if the water's really cold, I'd rather stand up paddleboard. But, we take out the lessons together. Usually, like, for Kids Surf Night, there are four kids to one instructor.
Okay.
So that's usually the ratio we like to keep because any more children to instructor and you feel like you're losing children in the water, and that's not a good thing.
Right.
So we all take them out. We've got our group of instructors is really awesome. We've got, like, a solid group that keeps coming back year after year.
Yeah, how many instructors do you have?
Yeah, so the team was up to 13 last year,
which
is definitely the biggest we've had. We're going to end up being pretty close to that again this year, though. A couple of turns. I'm lucky with some kids through college that I get them to keep coming back each summer.
Right.
We've got a few who are moving on to real-world gigs on us. So
Quote-unquote, real job.
Yeah, right.
I still refuse to call this a real job.
No, well, you know, they know what they say. If you love what you do, you never work a day in your life.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely. That's the cliche I most try and live by. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty lucky to do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gig. Yeah, totally.
So So is there a place in Cape Ann where you always have waves so you're able to surf or teach surfing?
Not technically.
Long Beach is pretty good, I feel like. Not all the time. Nowhere on Cape Ann, I think.
Yeah, we have flat spells, unfortunately, in the Cape. They tend to be in the summer from time to time. But yeah, Long Beach is a really good spot for us because basically anything other than right around high tide, it breaks pretty well. It's nice sandy bottom, so it's easy. When it's not too big, which it isn't during the summer, usually around this time of year is when we get bigger surf. So that does pretty well for us. And Good Harbor tends to catch waves well also, but during the summer, Memorial Day to Labor Day, the lifeguards won't let you surf or have any inflatables there from 9 to 5. So that kind of drastically cuts down the window you could surf there.
So how often do you personally surf, not, you know, with the company, but it's your own, is it still your own pastime?
Totally.
So
probably the I get to surf more often is actually like this time of year, like late fall into the winter and spring when the shop is closed for a couple months, right. And I'm not answering the phone too often. Actually, I got time to sneak down a lot more often. So,
gotcha.
I still get out as often as I can.
Yep.
During the summer, it's really fun when that's your job. It's really easy to sneak, like maybe a 20-minute window in where you can at least just catch a couple waves. Maybe you don't get to surf all day like you used to, but yeah, I try and go as often as I can. Absolutely.
Where you see a perfect wave, you're like, wait, hold on. I'll show you this. Ready?
I just need one. Yeah. Just need that one.
Well, it's fun because, like, so on Sunday nights we do adult sup surf night. So that's teaching adults who don't get to play very often or learn new things very often how to surf, but on the paddle boards. We find it's easier because you don't have to pop up. So it's
people more take.
Yeah, it's a little more forgiving than surfing. But adult sub surf night's great because we're all on the water together and you're right. Like, here, I'll show you how to do it. And
you surf with
you get to, surf with them. So it's a lot of fun. That's a good one.
So, okay, what's going on with the yoga and how did you even progress to that? Like how, yeah.
So I think it was 2013 when I got sup yoga certified.
That's a thing.
Yes.
Like it's a thing. How'd you know it was a thing?
We have friends through the paddle industry that we knew, and her name is Julie Roach, and she owns like a paddleboard company down in Orlando,
H2EO.
And so she certified me in Orlando in 2013, and then we came up here, started doing it specifically because I remember, here on the river, if you go up river, so instead of going down towards Cranes, you go under the bridge and out back. There's like 2 miles worth of paddling back there, and boats can't go under the bridge.
Oh.
So it is like, at high tide, without the greenheads, it is absolutely like the perfect place for it. So that's how I thought of it. But the other place that has really surprised me, that most people are like, how would you ever do yoga there, is in the harbor. Because oftentimes,
that's where everyone's seeing you. That's where your visibility is, right?
Yes. We're kind of over by stage 4.
Yeah.
Tucked coves.
Because
there.
Oftentimes the wind in the summer comes out of the south, which means it's coming from stage 4 across to the Beauport. So when we leave the Beauport, it's like really windy and people are paddling and they're like, I don't know about this. And as soon as we get across to like the little stage 4 cove, because you're up against the trees and the wall,
right,
the wind just dies and it's like this patch of like super calm water.
Wow.
And everybody's always surprised, and they're like, by the time we paddle back, they're like, wow, I never thought that the harbor with all these boats would be the place to do it. But we also do it at 8 a.m. on Sundays, so it's before like the, we call them the yo-hos, are out on their on their boats.
Yeah.
The weekend warriors.
The weekend warriors, yeah. Exactly. I was like, I'm still blown away, like, because I remember the one time I was part of the paddle group, and we went out to the breakwater, and there were people just whizzing by, and I'm like, and everyone's like, you're fine, yeah. And then I'm like, okay, I'm good, and I got to this patch of calm, and I went right over and fell in. But I'm like, as you're describing it, trying to get over to that cove, I'm like, how do they deal with the bridge traffic?
Yeah.
But now it makes sense, because if you beat them, it's kind of like my theory on Market Basket. If you get there early, you can avoid everything.
Yeah.
That's true. And the bridge traffic, they've been really good. We try and be very respectful, especially with, because oftentimes we're on the water with people. So we'll tell people to stop if the bridge is up. And then they'll close it, and then we cross over as, like, one big pod.
Right.
So that people, even if they can come through the bridge, they can go around us. We try and, like, be very mindful that we're not the only ones in the harbor.
Right.
Like, there are other people doing other things. Some people working. So, like, what we're doing is lower on the totem pole. So yeah.
Some of the first conversations I had, basically, when I opened up the first year, was with Coast Guard and the guys at the Blimmin Bridge.
Right.
All those sorts of things to make sure I was doing stuff as safely as possible.
Right,
and we
kind
of all got a good understanding of what I was doing, so they know, you know, how to mention, hey, there's a couple of paddlers out there, and those sorts of things. And No going under the bridge. One of our cardinal rules.
Don't even go closer.
So we always pass, you know, outside the day mark, so that way, you know, boats have some time to see us as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So is the yoga stationary at one point, or how does that?
Yeah. So I have an anchoring system that we made, and it's basically mushroom anchors and some buoys, and every time we go out, I have, it looks like, what are those big orange baskets that are plastic? They're like the lobster baskets,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, bait basket.
Yeah, like the bait baskets, and that has the anchoring system in it, and I put it out, I like, once we get across the bridge, I'll like speed up a little bit, and then I'll put it out, and by the time people get there, you just take the leash that's around your ankle, and you sort of thread that through one of the buoys, and you kind of put the paddle in there as well. And so we're all connected in, like, this square.
Oh.
You don't have to worry about anything except you and the board and, like, listening to me talk.
And then what kind of... So you can pretty much do full-out yoga or...
It definitely is modified. Anything one-footed is super difficult, so we try to stay away from that. I try and gauge the group. If people are feeling like they're a little sassy and the water's warm enough, then we'll do things that are more... upright.
Yeah.
If it's cooler, it's a little earlier or later in the season, and it seems like people definitely don't want to fall in, we'll do more like child's pose and
restorative. Yeah, that would be me. I'd just be like,
yeah,
child's pose. That's what I'm going to do the whole
time.
See
you
doing yoga.
More restorative for sure. Yeah.
So what do you have come, what events do you, you said you do other events on top of the lessons and the surfing and the yoga and everything like that. So what is going on this year? Wait, actually, when does your season kick off?
So we haven't announced the date just yet for the shop. We're probably still another 2 weeks out. We're trying to kind of finish a few
redos. A new front door.
Yeah, fix the front door before we reopen. So we're still a couple weeks out there. We're usually around like mid to end of April is usually when we reopen the shop. We tend to do weekends there for about a month. So Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays we'll be in there 10 to 6. Until like May, mid-May, and then it's 7 days a week on downhill.
Wow.
Yeah.
The on-the-water locations, it kind of goes how the weather does. So if, you know, May 1st shows up and we got 70 degrees, we'll be down there renting boards.
Right.
If it's still cold and no one's going to the water just yet, we'll hold off a little bit. So there's a kind of a weather-dependent start. But we never really, we don't have a technical close. So if tomorrow's sunny and warm and someone wants to go paddleboarding, they can call and I'll meet them at any of the locations.
That's so crazy. That's so funny.
Yeah.
It's like a rolling open.
It's a soft open.
Especially when tomorrow's fest, I have snow.
Yeah.
Or Friday, you know.
Whatever. We'll announce the shop opening on Facebook and then, you know, all our social media platforms.
Right,
definitely when we announce the date.
We usually have like a... opening weekend. Well, there's often like an opening weekend sale. We'll do, I don't know, we'll have like cookies or something, like a hangout kind of.
Kickoff party.
Now, last year, you, I think it was towards the end of the summer, you started doing movie nights here at the barn.
So, we didn't do as many last year as we had hoped. I think one of them got rained out. But the goal is to do one a month. And basically, if you look at the shape of the board barn, it is perfect for, we just hang a sheet on the side of the building.
Yeah.
And we have a projector and people can bring their beach
lawn
chairs and lawn chairs and popcorn and blankets and whatever else they want, bug spray. And it's usually, especially the first one, like around in June, is doesn't usually start till like 9:30 because that's when it gets dark. But once you get to August, it's...
September even.
August and September there earlier. But it's fun for the kids and it's free and people
just... Yeah, it's mostly either surf movies or Disney movies.
I'm sure Moana's going to be on the list.
Surf's up, Moana. Usually the first one is The Endless Summer. We have a tie to The Endless Summer and a soft spot in our heart. And I think most people who surf, especially around here, do. So... that's usually the first one, and it's like just such a classic movie. And
60s surf film.
And it sort of spans all the generations, and then from there we go into Pixar movies.
So what is Military Mondays?
Yeah, so that's something we're starting out this year. We're kind of playing around with names. We're probably going to call it like the Giving Thanks series or something. Ooh. And just a couple of nights that we, or days that we thought we could do as, you know, just a small way for our, you know, to give back a little bit. So Mondays, Military Mondays, are going to be for all active and past duty servicemen and women. And it's half price on all of the services. So rentals, lessons, tours,
awesome.
Surfing, sup, you know, anything on Mondays will be half price for all those guys. And like we said, just a small way to kind of say thanks to those who help us out in a lot of ways.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. So your dog.
Yes.
Yeah, Fila. Currently under a blanket. Under the blanket.
That's how Champ, my dog Champ, loves to be underneath the blankets all the time. So she goes on the paddle with you?
She does. So there have been a lot of paddle dogs in Cape Ann SUP's history. Yeah. His sister has two now, had three, and they all paddled with us. My parents have one that paddles with us. Fila will paddle with us. We say that she tolerates it. She doesn't love it.
So how does it even work? Like, do they know how to balance, or?
It depends on the dog. So actually, Fila works really well. She's not the smallest of girls. She's like 105 pounds, but she doesn't love to swim. So it works really well because she'll get on board in between our feet and then she'll stay still because she doesn't want to fall in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and their center of gravity is pretty low.
Yeah, because she lays. Yeah. It's usually like when you get that 30 to 40 pound dog who's real rambunctious and likes the water.
Right.
Those tend to be the tough ones to paddle with because they'll run back and forth and it kind of throws your balance off.
Now, do they ever jump off and jump back on?
Depends on the dog, but yeah, we've had dogs absolutely jump on, and then you gotta kind of help them back up and on, and sometimes they knock you in with them. When they go in, you go in a lot of times, but...
That's our favorite way to walk the dogs, is... So, here in the river, because it's all marshland on either side, is we'll just let the dogs run from the marina on the marsh, and we'll paddle, and like, occasionally one of them will jump in and swim towards us and we'll pull them up, and some of them from the boards will want to go to the marsh, so they'll like swim back, and it's just a good way to get them out. And some of the dogs have life jackets. She does not.
Oh.
If they're okay swimming, they're fine.
That's how good they can swim.
She's like, I don't anticipate going in this
water. Yeah, she's not trying to fall off.
I'm not going in.
So have you traveled to surf, or either one of you traveled? Yeah. Where have you gone?
So, I mean, a couple of smaller trips, like I've done Florida, North Carolina, some East Coast driving and flying trips. The main one that we've done, and now we've done, what, maybe four years in a row.
Five trips, 4 years.
Yeah. The shop is basically April till Christmas Eve every day. And then right after we shut down the last 5 years, we've gone down to Costa Rica for a couple of weeks. So that's a spot we totally love, and great surfing down there, really nice weather, super good.
And you do a retreat down there, is that right?
Yeah.
Now, is it you guys kind of set it up, and anyone that is interested, like, get, like, works with you and books with you and stuff like that? So is that where they learn to surf, or is it more or less people that already are in the...
So this was our first year with the full retreat group coming down with us. We had 10 folks this year. We're probably going to bump it up a couple of people next year. And the skills kind of ranged all over. It's yoga and surfing on the retreat. So we had some people who were really into yoga and had never surfed before. Some folks who had surfed a few times and had barely done yoga, and a few of each kind of thing. So kind of open to all levels.
I teach the yoga every day. Dom teaches surfing every day, or as often as people want. So it's designed to, if you are one of those people who just wants to like go, and you want to surf and do yoga every single day, and that's all you want to do, then that's great. And if you're one of those people who's like, I'll do yoga this day, I'll surf the next day, I'll read a book the next day, it's totally open. And the nice thing is where we do it, is they've got like this amazing yoga shala, which is like the yoga practice space that's all glassed in, and it's just absolutely perfect. It's like, as a yoga teacher, you dream about that. But the waves, it's the waves themselves, range, so you have everything from, like, if you are a seasoned surfer, you get everything you can handle, all the way down to super-duper beginners, so it's nice, because it sort of, there's something for everybody.
Right. Yeah. Now, this might be a general question that someone might ask you is, for stand-up paddleboard or even surfing, do they have to know yoga in order to do this?
No, not at all. So actually, believe it or not, I myself am very novice into the yoga game. As someone who's been with a yoga teacher for as long
like
as I have.
It sounds like Christina and Joel. Yeah. Christina's like, yeah, no, I'll get on the paddleboard or the surfboard, but I'm good.
Yeah, that's kind of how I always was, too. But So I have actually very good first-hand experience that you don't need to know yoga at all to do. Either the SGP class that we do for yogas on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings here, or in the retreat. Annalise did a very good job at, you know, going through positions and saying, here, if you're not that good, wink, wink, you.
I used him as an example. Yeah. And I didn't say not that move. Good.
Yeah. So it was good. That
modifications.
Able to cater to kind of all levels of yoga, including novices.
Yeah. It's meant for everybody. And we were very fortunate this past trip that we had a really cool group of people. And it's as much about the yoga and the surfing and being in Costa Rica as it is about being with other cool people who want to do something similar, experience a different part of the world, and spend a week together just hanging out.
Right.
So
yeah. That's awesome. So what's the number one question or common question you get about gay band sup?
Yeah. Other than
what is sup?
Yeah. probably when people figure out, especially when I tell them that it's my company, probably what do you do in the winter? Is the number one, like, the quickest thing asked. It's usually pretty light and easy questions. Either people don't know about paddleboarding, and is that really that hard, or how hard is that kind of thing.
Right, right.
Definitely the what do you do in the winter comes up really often.
See, I didn't know that you offered surfing, and I didn't even know that that's where... kind of where you originated and things
like
that.
I mean, before I was paddleboarding, I already had almost 15 years of surfing. Like I said, as a little kid. So that's definitely more of our roots. And that is something that is more recent to the company, because once we had the shop, it allowed us to sell some of the surf gear. And then by adding the location over at Long Beach where we can do the surfing services was really what allowed us to kind of to grow that side of things pretty tremendously.
Right. Yeah. Now, with all the flooding that we had, did that affect you guys at all in the Essex River?
So, yeah.
Sure did. Sure did.
So, actually, our 20-foot shipping container, the steel shipping container, which is now in my driveway, as you see.
Did that temporarily float down the river?
Yeah, that actually floated out of the marina where it normally is, up on blocks, and the wind blew it across the Essex River. And luckily it blew it over towards Perkins Marina, and the guys were there watching their gear, and they were able to tie it off so it didn't go down river or anything, luckily.
It was in the river for like 3 days.
Spent 3 days. Wow. Yeah.
Were you guys on your trip when that happened?
No, that was day after we got back.
Yeah. Oh,
it was kind of a welcome back. Yeah.
It was just got back.
But at least you got nice, like, group of community over there to be like, this is probably a bad
we're gonna tie this up. Yeah, no, it was great. And then as soon as the winds died down there, so that's why it was 3 days, because it was still so windy, they have a crane there, so they were able to pick it up out of the river for us.
Wow.
And we put it on a flatbed and took it back here.
Tally's put it in our driveway.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thanks to the guys at Tally's. They were right over on a Sunday.
Any damage at all, or is it pretty
not bad at all?
Okay.
Yeah, it's full of a lot of our our fleet boards, so stuff that's all used. There was barely any new gear in there.
Yeah.
We broke one paddle, and one of the boards has a couple of dings that'll need to be repaired.
Right.
But that's nothing too big. I can do those repairs
myself. Is there anything in insurance that has in case your equipment floats down the river?
I hope that's covered in my policy.
Did you ever think having a company like this and be like, winter, what...
nothing's gonna happen.
And then all of a sudden, I did when we were in Costa Rica was when we had that crazy
the windstorm, January the snow.
Storm. Yeah, that was like negative. I don't know.
The one where ridiculous the amount. High school flooded.
Where the high school
flooded. Oh, yeah, yeah. The first one.
Yeah.
January 4th. So we were in Costa Rica for that, which was wild. And that one, I was like, God, I really hope that the container doesn't move. And you were like, no, it's been 8 years, 7 years now, or like 6 years, I guess, never that one's been sitting. It's never budged an inch. And it's had 2 feet of water in it.
It's not water. 1 year.
And that, but that's okay. So we came back and we noticed that it had just like moved off of its blocks slightly. And so we're like, all right. Well, it moved, but maybe it just like kind of moved a little bit and there were plenty of icebergs. In hindsight, the icebergs like kept it in place.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And there were no icebergs for this other one. So good thing it didn't float away while we were out of the country.
Yeah.
So when do you plan to bring that back down? You got to get tallies
couple
back
more
over
weeks.
Here to bring
yeah,
it.
It'll need a flatbed again. I'm trying to wait for the weather to turn, to warm up a little bit, because I need to hose it out still. It's got a little bit of river mud at the bottom. Not too much, but...
And we'll paint it and...
Yeah, throw another coat of white paint on it and...
Not to mention the marina's not ready for it.
Yeah, all the boats are still up on land.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So we'll need to wait until those go back to drop it back off where it was.
Yeah. Right, right. I'm sure that's a mess everywhere, really, and everyone's still trying to...
Everybody got nailed pretty bad.
Yeah.
And we tried to tell all of our neighbors that the shipping container is just temporary. We actually bought this year, which we're so excited about, so we're not going anywhere.
Oh, wow.
But we closed on it, and then the next day, the shipping container was in the driveway.
And they're probably like, oh, here we go.
Oh, I hope that's all your
moving
stuff.
Oh, the new neighbors.
There goes the neighborhood,
So what is something that you want the public to know about Cape Ann Sup?
Well, I mean... I'd probably take the opportunity to mention the shop. I feel like, starting over in Gloucester was awesome, and it still, kills it for us in the summer to be able to do our services over there because it's so beautiful, the waterways. But spending those first 4 years just as like an on-the-beach company doing the services, I don't think as many people who might know about us over in town realize that we have a shop as well over here where we kind of
she might have asked where we were going.
Yeah. No, it's something we get.
And I drive by this
all the time.
Every day, like twice a day.
No, and that's the number one thing is I drive by that every day. I mean, it is the one intersection in Essex.
Yeah.
You know,
and it does help during, it does help during the warmer weather when the boards are actually out on the rack.
Yeah. You can actually advertise like something that there is a store here.
It's something here.
Not just our house.
And it's not antiques anymore either.
Yeah.
We still get that one a lot. People showing up.
Oh, right.
Because it used to be an antique shop years ago.
So. Right.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, these aren't antiques.
Yeah.
So as the word of mouth getting out, knowing that you sell the surf gear here now, and are you busier or how has that been going?
Yeah, definitely. So that was, so we're heading into, this will be our fourth summer of the shop here with the retail space. And it's definitely grown each
year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Both, amount of stuff that we're able to fit in there, but also number of people coming through the doors has gone up each season for sure. So
oh, awesome.
I think as more people figure it out, it's just tough for us because it's this great antique building, but we don't really have any show windows or anything. So it's tough to show outside what's happening inside.
Right.
Because that's a lot of what we get. People come in and say, oh, I had no idea you had this stuff in here.
Right.
So. And we started pretty lean as far as inventory is concerned. It was more of like a hub because... especially in town here, the only other spot we had was across the river. So this was a spot that like people could come and ask questions about Cape Ann SUP or book or whatever it may be. So we only had a limited amount of, bathing suits and some sunglasses and a couple things. And over the years, we've legitimately stuffed it to the brim to the point where we're like, okay, well, what do we do now that we have so much stuff in there? But... every year there's new stuff. We try and turn it over. Every year we try and do something new, which is kind of why we're sort of delaying our decision on the opening.
What are you going to do new this year?
It's usually those some of the displays.
Company secrets.
Usually displays, and sort of the way it's laid out. Usually it's, you know, a couple new companies that we're carrying. And hopefully we can paint the building.
A couple of exterior now that you upgrades. Own it. Yeah, now that we own it, yeah, there's right? all sorts of to-do lists.
Now, do you guys also work with the hotel that's right here, too? Or is it the hotel or motel? Like, do you guys just kind of advertise with them or, like, have your postcards there?
Yeah, we have some of our rack cards down there. Shays, yeah. Riverside in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of cross-promotion, actually, yeah, in town. All the restaurants are super open to having our rack cards.
Because I would say if I was staying there, because I, you know, as I drive by through the summer, there's tons of wedding. I see the wedding families coming in from out of town that are all moving together. And I'd be that person that'd forget my sunblock. Like, where do I get sunblock?
Yeah.
Like, oh, right there. And I'm probably pretty sure they've got, like, the best stuff, you know, the least toxic stuff. Yeah. And I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to drive anywhere. That works out.
That's the hope.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to do everything we can on our end to, you know, if you guys got stuff going on, you know. But I think you guys, you know, I've done the paddle group, so I'm well aware of how awesome you guys are and stuff like that. So, and my personal favorite, I know that I think I signed up for the paddle group for the wrong reasons. Like, Christina was like, come do it. And I was like, okay. I didn't realize that most of the people were training
for that specific races. Group. Yes.
Yeah,
and she didn't tell me that. And she didn't tell me, like, I thought because she introduced me into paddleboarding in 2013, like actually getting on the board, and we went through the Anisquam, and I was like, oh, it's so peaceful and tranquil out here. And then, you know, a few years later, she's like, come out and do it with the group. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, where am I? Oh, I'm all by myself. Okay, cool. And then, but it was great. The one night that we went to the breakwater, I got to see all these houses that you don't actually get to see from the road. So and cool. I mean, sure, you might get to see them from a booze cruise, but you're not really focused on the buildings at night.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was calm, it was like glass, totally. And I was just like, I'm just gonna hang out in these people's yards and just cruise by and be like, hey, totally. How you doing?
Yeah.
But I think that's also an amazing way to see the city.
Definitely.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I was really lucky to grow up, so my parents had a restaurant out on Rocky Neck back when it was the Outrigger before Mad Fish there. So I got to spend all of my younger years kind of growing up and looking at all those coves and...
Right.
But it was always by dinghy or something, you know, and there you're right, there's that different perspective of being on the board, even if it's stuff in town that you've seen a million times, because you can paddle up so close to stuff at high tide and... Yeah, Eastern Point is definitely one of, like, the best of those paddles to get to see all those mansions.
Water. And so just curious to know, what is the actual mileage from Beauport to the breakwater?
So if you did it in a straight shot, it's just over 2, I believe.
Okay.
I mean, it's like 2.2. But that's not very realistic
of
how you can paddle it. You usually need to add a little bit more distance by staying
around.
Out of the boat lane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, you want to go like on the far side of 10 pound and kind of go straight.
I might brag to people like, I've been out there. I've done 4 miles.
Yeah.
And they're like, no way. I'm like, yeah, I did. There's
the only problem is I can't get back up.
No, you'd be surprised. Trust me.
It's not... Like, if you fall in, is that what you mean?
Yeah.
That is, people ask that all the time. It's not like a dock where it doesn't give. It's actually easier to get back on than most people think it is.
Because you can sink the board a little bit to, like, get onto it.
Or
it's not like pulling
yourself
all the way out of the water.
Right.
You're kind of, like, shimmy up and on.
And if you have trouble with it the other way is you can go all the way to the back and then you can... sink the back of the board down
like
and pull
board,
your like
yeah.
pull yourself up like that. So it's easier than most people think. We get that a lot of people being like, I don't think I can get back on if I fall.
Yeah.
And there are ways.
Okay. And you also have a flotation device. Like
everybody goes out with the Coast Guard approved PFD.
Yeah. And that kind of feels like a fanny pack. You're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah. I've fallen in and was like, oh my god, my sunglasses are safe. Yes! And I stood up, and then I was like, oh no. And then they went away. I was like, goodbye. You were so good to me. And then trying to get back in with the sun, like, come down. I'm like, yep.
Let's see.
This is my own doing. Yep.
Should have put awesome. Them on a lanyard.
Are there any events that we didn't cover? Is there anything new? Is there anything that you want to talk about?
Something that's new this year, one of the services that we added are Friday nights. We're doing Lady Surf Night this year.
Okay.
Wow. So that's all July and August out of the Long Beach location. So that one we're really excited about. That's open to all levels, you know, first-time surfers up to people who have done it plenty.
18+.
Yeah,
for 18, the ladies. Huh?
Oh, okay.
And yeah, so that one's definitely going to be a blast. Like I said, open to all levels skill wise. So if you've been thinking about trying, that's a nice, fun, easy environment to get in it where no one's judging anybody. It's just, you know, high energy kind of group. So that one we're really excited about. And then this summer will be the second year in August that we're hosting our race out of the Pavilion Beach location where the Beauport is there. Yeah. So we did it. We started it last year. It's called the Cape Ann Supper Bowl. kind of just awesome. Like a fun, as the summer's winding down there, SGP race in the harbor there. So we kind of go out of the Beauport around Greasy Pole and up towards Freshwater Cove and back. So that one's a lot of fun because it's good for spectators too. You can line up along the boulevard or at stage 4 and get a good view of the race as it's going on.
That's awesome.
Have you guys ever done the Blackburn Challenge on the paddleboard?
Yeah,
you
we have? Both have actually, yeah.
Put it on the bucket list.
It's worth trying, yeah.
Yeah.
It's that's a lot. Yeah. That's a big workout. It's basically a marathon, but you're doing it paddling instead of running.
So you've done it on the paddleboard.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
We both have.
We actually, when you were talking about going from the breakwater, I like, am still scarred. From, like, because you get to the breakwater, you've gone all the way around, and you get to the breakwater, and you sort of, like, turn the corner, and you can see the beach. And it's such a tease because it's so much further than you're like, oh, I'm there. Oh, I'm not there. I'm not there.
Half hour, at least.
And how many times have you done that? Just one time, or...?
I did the
Blackburn twice. That's one of the things that was in the early years of the company. It was fun because
you had time.
The company was smaller, so I wasn't that busy Saturday in July.
Do you do rentals at that time during that race?
So we've rented once or twice. We have rented boards for the Blackburn. We usually have a couple. Our fleet is mostly of kind of all-arounder shapes, but we do keep a few, we call them our demo boards, but either like race shapes or SGP surf boards, or, you know, kind of touring boards. Yeah, some of the nicer gear for people who want to try different shapes when they're thinking about buying. So I do usually have a race board or two that gets rented out for it. But the Blackburn's a pretty big commitment.
Yeah,
so,
it's usually people.
But do you have people that like come from the Beauport that are like, oh, what's this about?
What's going on today?
Hey, can I get on the water? Like, not even seeing the thousands of people in the rigs out there.
We definitely still have like normal business running that day. Mm-hmm. What's funny is even with the size of the Blackburn, and it is huge, a couple hundred boaters.
So massive.
You know, by 1-2 o'clock maybe, Pavilion Beach is empty again.
Yeah.
You know, it's a morning event, and it's big, and the after party and everything, but you'd be surprised. Yeah, like 1:30, the beach is empty already, so. Wow.
And the paddle boarders are the last ones to come in. And they're, usually, like,
those
trickle
in. Those are the
Grand
Bank stories. Yes, always at the end together,
I remember, was it last year, Joel had messaged me, and he was like, hey, I'm on a tuna boat, can you go down to the beach? And I was like, what? And he's like, well, Christina's in the race, and they didn't have like the tracker like they did the year before. So I'm standing out there, and of course her mother-in-law comes up, and I was like, oh, someone I know on the beach, cool. And I'm like, is that her? Nope. And she's like, oh, they're so close. I'm like, oh, you would not believe how far they are. It's exactly what you said. And I kept looking. I was like, nope, that's a man's body, never mind. It's like, they're so far out, you can't see them. And, of course, every year I forget to bring the binoculars.
Mm.
And then, you know, we've had Christina on a few times to talk about it. She talked about the first time where she only made it to mile six. And before she got the hypothermia and got cold, and it was gross.
That was like the worst year in a while.
That was really bad, yeah.
Yeah, we had a... And nobody finished standing.
Standing the whole day. Yeah, that year. People had to sit down just to make it over, because it was so rough to seize that day.
Right.
There was a couple of the two-man rowing skulls snapped in half.
That year. Wow. That was a wild year.
That was three years ago now.
We had his best friend did it
that year,
and he completed it, but that was only willpower.
Yeah, willpower day.
And he actually, a lot of the people use race boards, which are skinnier and usually faster. But I think he was on a touring shape, which I think that day, because the seas were so rough, helped him actually, because he had a little bit more
stability.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, that was wild.
Yeah, Blackburn is very wind dependent. It can be a decent workout, or it can be one of the roughest days ever, depending on what the winds and the seas are.
Just driving the course in a vehicle was enough of a oh my god, this is a workout.
It's a big island.
And you don't realize that until, and I've told people before, I'm like, yeah, she's going all the way around the island. They're like, that's not so bad. I'm like, in open water.
Yeah.
She's out there
alone. Half hour in your car.
Yeah. It's completely different.
And when you are out beyond Rockport, in between Straits Mouth and what is it, where Twin Lights are?
Yeah.
You're miles, or Halibut Point in Straits Mouth. When you're doing that straight away, you're miles out from Rockport. You look over and you're like, God, if I just had to give up right now, it would be really
still take you a half hour to get to land.
That's crazy. Well, thank you so much for having us. This is awesome. What are we?
Thank you for having us.
We are officially at an hour.
Wow.
Woo.
Yay. Perfect. I love that.
right about that time. We did good.
Hey, awesome. Yeah, thanks so much for hosting us here. I can't wait to hear the acoustics. I bet they're really great.
So where can we find you besides Facebook?
CapeNSUP.com.
Okay.
We're on Instagram, CapeNSUP. And...
phone number, 978-233-1-SUP.
Yeah. That's great. Right?
Yeah.
It's 233-1787.
Okay. We're at Long Beach all summer.
Yeah. And at 2 Southern Ave here is the Board Barn, like we said, when we reopen in a couple of weeks. But we live here too. Yeah. So
we're always
the easiest way to find me.
Awesome. So... thank you guys again. So it's Alicia Unleashed, episode 77, out.